Amen and amen. Yes, God, we come before you this morning. And we worship you and you alone. And you receive the glory this morning as it is all about you and none about us. Father God, I thank you that you will speak through my vocal cords. And Lord God, every spirit that is not of you will flee in Jesus' name. I give you thanks and praise, Father God, that restoration will come. Father, I thank you. Where healing is needed, healing will manifest. And I give you thanks and praise, Father God, for those who need breakthrough. Breakthrough is theirs this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to thank Apostle and Prophet for inviting me and for trusting me with their pulpit. I know the ladies know me, not the guys so much, but the ladies know me and they know how I minister. And but it's an honor to be here. And give them a hand. And I always say, give the health ministries a hand. Because they were here before you. And they had to make sure that everything is done by 7 o'clock. Knowing apostle. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about faith in the marketplace. And I want to thank Apostle for trusting me with this teaching. And I promise I'm not going to behave like I do when I'm with the ladies, because we have gentlemen in the house today. But some of them know me. Faith and the marketplace were never meant to be separated. Never ever meant to be separate. The time has come for the people of God to take their rightful place, amen, in the marketplace, and bring faith in the marketplace back together again. When Adam and Eve sinned and were put out of the garden, they began another culture, a culture that was built outside the presence of the one and only true God. And it's we, the church, should bring that culture back so that the world may focus on the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But before I go any further, I want to share a testimony. Quick, may I? Okay. The ladies know that I wear high heels and what have you not, and I can't wait for myself to be back in my high heels, okay? So now I have to wear flats, okay? Four months ago, I was diagnosed with a clot on my brain. And that's how big the clot was. Amen? I woke up that morning. I want to tell you that the Word of God works. It works. It works. It works. No matter where you are. Amen. But it is also important what you say, because your words will meet you in your future. Amen. Your words will meet you in your future. So I woke up that morning. I told my husband, in fact, he sends his regards from England. I was supposed to travel with him for a month to go to the UK. And because of what happened, and we had everything planned, and I was told that for 6 months I cannot get into planes and whatever not, and I'm not able to drive myself yet. That's the biggest frustration. Okay, if you used to jump in your car and just go wherever you want to, and now you have to come and pick me up or phone Uber or whatever. So that is the biggest frustration, okay? And I couldn't go with him. So I woke up that morning and I told my husband, there's something wrong. He said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, but there's something wrong. You need to take me to the doctor. He said, but you're okay. I said, yeah, but I know. The Holy Spirit is telling me there's something wrong in my body. We went to the doctors. Doctor did this scan, that scan, did test and whatever. And he said to me, there's nothing wrong. He said, but you don't believe me. I can see in your eyes you don't believe me. I'm going to send you to MediClinic, emergency. I said, okay. He gave me a letter. Got to MediClinic. They said to me, there's nothing wrong. I'm thinking, Lord, should I tell them that you sent me here? Okay, so they're going to think I'm crazy, okay? I know there is because the Holy Spirit told me there's something wrong in my body. And I thought, no, I'm not going to argue with these people. They kept me there for a day, hey, Alvin? And for the day, they said, we can either keep you overnight or we can send you home. I said, no, send me home. So they sent me home, got home, I prayed. And first and foremost, what I did, I want to thank my daughter and my niece for accompanying me. She stays in Alberton, my niece, pastor, a prophet. But when she heard I'm preaching at Prophet Shari, she says, I'm there. So she came all the way. She loves this church. Okay, all the way from Alberton. And Miriam, my PA, she's here. So they sent me home. The first thing I did, I went on my knees and I said, Father, you've created this body. You know what you're telling me. But I don't know what's wrong, but you know what's wrong. So I expect you to fix it. I didn't pray long prayers. I said, but first and foremost, I want to forgive the doctors. I forgave the doctors. For not finding what you said was wrong. I said, I'm just letting them go. And I was okay. The next day at 2:00, they phoned me. Can you believe it? They said, we found a clot. Can you believe it? The next day, and it's a private hospital. Yeah. So I said, no, that's fine. I'm healed. They said, what? I said, no, I'm healed because I've prayed, right? And I've asked God to heal me. So eventually I went into hospital. The neurologist came. She said, no, that clot is big on your brain, and blah, 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 blah. The cardiologist and all the ologists came. I think there were four of them working on me. And they said, no, there is something. We're going to treat you. Anyway, but I kept on saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And to cut a long story short, when I went back for the test again, they only saw a scar. And the neurologist said to my husband, this is what signs say. And this is what I know that clot would have caused. Your wife is who should not be able to talk, not have an ability to memorize or remember or whatever she's doing. She said, but this is the signs that she shows. She says, I'm not a believer. She's either a woman of faith. She looks at me. She says, no, great faith. Great faith. You know, when I shared with my daughter that what the doctor said, she said, Ma, she calls me Ma, but since you're forever saying you have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ, I have the mind of Christ, the faith of God, the wisdom of God resides on this, inside of me. The same resurrected spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is alive inside. So when that clot came to cause damage, it could not damage the mind of Christ. It could not damage. Whatever you say over yourself will meet you in the future. Whatever you say, Dr. McCudzie had to fill in the form. She says, I don't know how to fill in this form for my insurer. She says, I don't know what to say. She said, because normally it takes 6 months for a person to at least recover a bit. You were up and about in 3 weeks. She doesn't know what to say, but we as believers know what to say. That Jesus still heals, hallelujah. So if Jesus heals me, he can heal you. He is no respecter of person. No respecter of person. He's only a respecter of faith. Faith. And what is faith? What is faith? We know the scriptures. We confess the scriptures. But is it revelation? Or is it just mere words? Until you get to the place where you trust God, no matter what your circumstances look like, you know that He's going to do what He said He will do. And that no matter what your situation look like, He can do. He said, all authority I've given unto you. Some of us wait on God to turn our finances around, but He's waiting on you to just do what He tells you to do in His word. Just do what He tells you to do in His word. He's able. And not only is He able, the Jesus that you and I serve, He is willing. Are you willing? Are you willing to surrender all to Him? To surrender all to Him. You know, when people ask my husband, what's my favorite pastime? He said, reading the word. He said, she just loves sitting there and reading the word. I'm not saying that you guys should be like me, but let it become a revelation to you that if you really want to walk in the fullness of the blessing, you will only find it in the word. This culture that started with Adam and Eve originated from the architect, from the mind of the architect, Satan, and not from our creator. Soon laws were made to support this culture and to legalize it, destructive influence on humanity. For example, the current laws in our country, I'm not talking about other countries, I'm talking about South Africa, okay? In our country, the current laws, we are feeling the effect of those laws that were implemented years ago. Not even that long ago, just 3 decades ago. We are feeling the effects of not having prayer in schools. We are feeling the effects of taking the right of a parent away. I know, brother, that you know that your mom, you couldn't back chat her, right? We know our parents. We couldn't back chat. We couldn't say this, that, or the other, because soon we will feel a backhand. Right? And we turned out all right. So why did the government think that we don't need that? The children of now don't need it. They needed more than what we needed. Because we at least had our gogs. We had our gogs. And we were raised in a house where the father was present. We were raised in a house where the father was present. Today, nations are threatening default, especially this nation, because of the country's excessive debt obligation. Cities are unable to meet their municipal budgets. And what do? They tax the citizens even more. because they are mismanaging municipalities. Can I preach like this in this church? They are mismanaging the funds that should be going to where it should be going to. And now we're all blaming Trump. That aid that came to South Africa and to Africa was never distributed in the way that it should have been. We don't know where it ended. We all know that Trump said no more aid, and we're upset with him, but it never reached the people who really needed that money. Amen? So don't blame him. We know that they wanted to add extra VAT on us. We don't know if it's still going to happen. The threat of war and destruction and terrorism is worldwide because of laws outside of the kingdom of God. Drugs is on the increase in our society. Poverty and violence are trying to destroy our communities, whether here in the cities, the suburbs, or the rural areas. We all hear about the violence that is trying to destroy our communities, where our gogos are not safe anymore. The young girls are not safe anymore. Not only young girls, but young boys are not safe anymore to walk to school. We used to walk to school, play whilst we walked to school, and then come back from school, and we would be even get home late because we're playing, and no one would dare try and kidnap us. Because the whole village raised that child. But now what is happening, and even amongst the church, is that we don't really see one another. Age and everyone to its own. And I want to say to Gateway this morning that God has blessed you to be a blessing. God has blessed you to be a blessing. And I was so happy to hear that there's kingsmen in this church. And they understand about kingsmen. They understand that. Because it's, like I said, it's time for the kings and the priests to take their rightful place. And that the kings will understand that they all need a priest. All need a priest. And that they cannot do what they have to do without the blessing of the priest. That's the order of God. That's the order of God. But today, we allow the priest to suffer and go and make dents. No. To go and do something else, work outside, because the kings in the church are too weak to take care of the priests and to bring the sacrifices to the priests. I tell you, my culture is when you come in the presence of a prophet, you bring a seed. No matter how small, but you honor the offers of the prophet. And that needs to get back. That order of God needs to come get back. And I tell you, it's time for the church to let the Esthers and the Davids and the Elijahs and the Gideons stand up again and be known to impact nations and to impact this nation. Let Gateway be that church that impact nations, this nation. Amen? Because you can't just come here and be a pew warmer. You must be involved with what the church is doing in the community, in your community. You don't have to go to Mpumalanga. You're part of Gauteng. So let us see Gauteng change for his kingdom's sake. Amen? The time has come to put our faith in God for the marketplace. put our faith in God, to bring forth heaven to earth. Jesus taught his disciple, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on this earth. So wherever the church goes, heaven must manifest. And I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about you, the people. Wherever you go, heaven must manifest. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no strife in heaven. Heaven must manifest where the church goes. Without God, faith in God and wisdom of God to make divinely directed decisions, the world remains on a course of self-destruction. In the book of Proverbs, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man. Hallelujah. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 4:12. So often we lean on our own understanding and we think that we can do things in the marketplace or in the ministry or at home without seeking God. And we, you know, this is so awesome that we get our plans and we take it to God and we say, now bless it. Instead of going to God and say, what is your plan for my family? What is your plan for my business, Lord God? What is your plan for the ministry or for my children? Seek his plan, seek his face, and diligently follow that plan. And when you've heard the plan of God for your family or for your business, I would like to speak to businessmen, I love that, or your business, then follow that plan. Don't seek the counsel of many when you heard of God, but make sure that you're one of his sheep that knows his voice. Because the enemy also come as an angel of light. Make sure that you have heard from him. And when you have heard from him, and people talk to you and say, that is not what God wants you to do, but you know that you know that you know that you've heard from God, do not be distracted. Don't look to the left or to the right. Many counselors will come and say, did you think you've heard from God? But you know that when God called you, it wasn't a Zoom call. It wasn't a conference call. When he spoke to you, you were alone with him. You were alone with him. When he said, come, you were the only one amongst the 12 that heard his voice, and it allowed you to walk on water. It allowed you to walk on water. So keep that faith and do what God has called you to do with not, but you know what, for me it's very important that we also always take the counsel of the father of the house. So when you have a business plan, as business people in this church, come to your father and say, this is what you've heard from God. Being the man he is, he will tell you if it's of God or if you're going ahead of God. He will tell you to wait, or he will tell you, I'm in agreement. He will say, I'll add my faith to yours. But what the church has been doing, we go and do whatever we want to do, and when the business fails, now we come to pastor, apostle, prophet, oh, pray for me, please. Now the creditors is behind you. Now we want them to pray and get us out of it, right? Hear me. A blessing from the father of the house on your business will make sure that you succeed. Amen. I know this is a church of faith. I know this is a church that understands that Isaiah 48:17, that when the Lord said that he is your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel,
I am thy God, the Lord thy God, who teach thee to profit. Prophet is not an ugly word, and not prophet. Prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, prophet, period. The church don't want to talk about money, sir. But God says, I will make thee to prophet and lead you in the way that you should go. The people who follow their God in how to do business according to the word, they will succeed. Who are taught to do business according to the word, they will succeed. The revelation of faith is a fundamental principle in the kingdom of God and in business. It's a fundamental principle. God wants his kingdom to be established in every nation. And we cannot establish his kingdom if we beggarly. If we are beggarly as the church. If we are beggarly, we cannot tell people that God wants us to prosper so that our souls may prosper. They said, yeah, right. I don't want your God. I don't want your God. Faith without works is dead. So when you say God wants me to prosper, you better prosper. So that when the world sees you, they know that you're a child of the Most High God. There's no doubt about it that you're from Gateway Church International and that you are a reflection of your mom and dad. That so many of us confess the word. We believe the word. We confess the scriptures. I know some of you are still believing. I want to hear a fantastic testimony when I come back for husbands and wives. Anyway, that's what they believed for last year. Believe for it, and it's not manifesting. Why? What are you saying? What are you saying? I've tried this faith. I can tell you what Papa Hagen said. Yes, you've tried. That's why it's not working for you. You have to fully immerse yourself in the Word of God. You have to immerse yourself in the Word of God. To the businessman, if you hear the voice of God, I want to use this testimony of Paul, my husband. Some people came to him with a deal, a magnificent deal. And they said to him, if you invest this, that, the other, we'll give you a portion or whatever. And he said to me, here's the contract. Oh, do you mind reading with it? The contract? I said to him, I'm not even prepared to look at that contract. He said, why? I said, because if you do it, you're going to fail. He said, but you don't even know what the contracts say and what they offer and what. You know, these people that comes with magnificent offers to you and how much I should invest in this, that, the other. Said, I'm not prepared to do that. And he was actually upset with me because men doesn't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, us women. And then he didn't tell me. So he met with these people. No, but I said to him, if you go into that contract, with that contract, just remember I'm covered. That contract will not bankrupt me because I have a hedge of protection around me. Amen? That contract will not bankrupt me. So he met with these people behind my back. And just as he was about to sign the contract, God can talk to them in the most amazing way. He heard, she's covered with a hedge, and this shall not come near her. He said to the guys, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. He met with them in Pretoria. I still need to discuss this with my wife. I just think now I need to discuss it with them. And he didn't sign the contract. 2 years later, on the news, I said, Paul, no, on carte blanche, why does that company look so familiar? He sounds so familiar. He said, Dad, he said, oh, that's the people that came with that contract to me, and they've robbed millions of people from people. I said, you see? And then he told me the story that he went behind my back. And just as he was about to sign the contract, he heard, remember, there's a hedge of protection around her. And then he didn't sign it. He said it was so chilling. And he didn't sign the contract. We would have been bankrupt. They would have taken our money, his business, everything. Therefore, it's important to hear God and the voice of God when you go into a contract with anyone. Doesn't matter how lucrative it sounds. You have to say to the people who tell you that, you know what? I'm divinely directed. And you have to tell them, I have to listen to my Father. Because there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 4:12. And cursed is man that trust in man, that make flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see what good comes. Matthew 4:8. Satan is working through his system, subtly trying to seduce Christians to be more humanistic, to lean on their own understanding and not to lean on their God. He's trying to cause division in the kingdom of God. He's trying to cause brother to rise up against brother. He's trying to cause division amongst races. He's tried that for years in our country. Don't allow him to succeed. Don't allow him to succeed. Don't allow him to succeed. Let the word of God have the last place in this country, and not the word of a politician or a naysayer. Because a lot will say that South Africa is going to be another African country, or just like they like to compare us to Zim. I don't know why. South Africa is going to be another Zim. South Africa will be what the people of South Africa say it will be. The people of God in this country. If we speak the word of God over our country and confess that this country will come alive in Jesus' name, and that this is not the end of South Africa, this is only the beginning, and everything in South Africa will turn around. South Africa will be the food basket of Africa. We are king, children of the Most High God. We are children of the King of God, the King of Kings. So behave like a king and decree. A king decree. Decree over your children. Decree over your finances. Decree over our country. Decree over our politicians. You know, when people come to me and say this, the other about the government, I don't come in agreement, because I'm praying for the government and I believe that it will turn around. So I will not come in agreement with anything that anybody says about our government. And then they call me an ANC lover. No, I'm not. I'm a God lover. Hear me, people. You cannot say one thing with your mouth and believe another. That's why this faith thing doesn't work for you. You pray, 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 and then something happened, and then you say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. But you've just prayed. Like David, don't run towards your enemy with your mouth closed. Decree who you are. Decree your covenant. And when that enemy speaks to you, you speak louder. You tell that enemy what you're going to do with him. You speak the word of God over your debts. You speak the word of God over your bank account. You speak the word of God over your business. David knew exactly who his God was and what covenant he has. And therefore, Goliath couldn't win against David. We all face giants daily. We all do. And when your giant taunts you, don't keep your mouth shut. Don't keep your mouth shut. If that giant say to you, how are you going to make it until the end of the month? They said, my God supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Speak. Don't come in agreement with your giant. When he tells you, how do you think you're going to overcome this, whatever, whatever? You say to him, to Satan, you obviously don't know what the word of God says. You can talk to him in such a way if you know who you are and in whom you are seated and what you can do through him. And when you go towards your giant, you tell him the end. You tell him the end. You speak the end before the fight even start. You speak the end before the fight even start. And you tell him that you have victory. And I can tell you who that victory is. His name is Jesus. 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 You have victory in him. And through him, don't accept defeat. Don't accept defeat. You've been anointed, you've been appointed, and you've been called to whatever you need you're doing right now. Whether you are an economic rainmaker or just a homemaker. Whether you're in the pulpit or in the pew. Whether you're a banker or just a spaza shop owner. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Giants may seem bigger. And boy, oh boy, when they showed me this, I thought, wow. I'm sure if they'd shown me that before, I would have quivered. Right? But I went home and I went on my knees and I praised God. I didn't spend the time around talking about the clot on my brain. I talked to the clot on my brain about my God and told him that my God is bigger than you. My God is able. And not only is he able, but he's willing. Are you willing? Are you willing? Hallelujah. Jesus says, everything that he has done. You know, sometimes I think, the girls know I like to run up and down, eh? But now I have to be. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto you. And in my book and in my dictionary, all means all. And he says, I've given you the authority to trample upon. Come on, church. Serpents and scorpions. That serpents and scorpions are demons. He have given you authority. If they come to you, then you laugh at them. I think you should start laughing now. Laugh now. Let the joy of the Lord fill you now. Because when you're joyful, you are able to resist the devil. I think you should shout out, Jesus, Jesus. Church, we belong to a different economy, not the world's economy. Not the world's economy. And a seed will meet every need. Hear me. I know there's different teachings out there about tithings and offering. I was so hoping that my teaching would go into the tithe and offering. I know there's different teachings out there about tithe and offering. But that's a law that hasn't changed. Everybody, like Abraham, needs a Melchizedek. Amen. Everybody needs a Melchizedek. Everybody needs a priest or a prophet. Everybody needs that. And as a church, you are blessed to have both in this our church. You are truly a blessing. So don't be so selfish and just keep the seats for yourself. Invite your people to come to this church. Tell them about this church where the uncompromised word of God is being taught. Bring them. And the next week, I hope that you will remember that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I hope you've received in Jesus' name.